I appreciate the song because I feel that I have little to offer, but when the Lord was dealing with me in the ministry, He had to chastise me a little bit that He doesn't make mistakes. So when He had to let me know that you've got enough, I can make it work. I felt like Jeremiah, and that first chapter of Jeremiah really has been a blessing to me. And to say that I need your prayers is an understatement. I ask for y'all's prayers. I don't think I'm alone when I say the enemy loves to mess with your mind while you're up here too. So I would like y'all to pray for me. I'll be able to get the thought out. It's a simple thought. And it's been one I feel like the Lord gave me several weeks ago for this meeting. And Brother Dan mentioned this morning about trying to sit and wait to see when the right time was. And I've been praying and asking the Lord. And I felt very strong that He wanted us to talk tonight about the fact is, are you at rest? Are you happy? And are you at peace with where you are? Are you able to feel at rest in the Lord? I'm not talking about, being complacent. I'm not talking about that kind of rest. I'm talking about true rest in the Lord. There is peace and rest to be had, even when things don't seem to be very restful. I would like to... What started this thought was in Isaiah 58. I'd like to start there. Isaiah 58 and 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places. Now, I would say I could ask the question, or how many Sabbath keepers do we have here tonight? And I would say, I hope all of us. And before you run me up the hill there for saying I'm being a little extreme, I'd like to think a little bit about what Jesus did. I like to go read in the Old Testament and then try to find in the New Testament of how this has carried over. There's some of the old law that we don't practice anymore. There's some of the old law, the moral type laws of I shall not kill, steal, covet. All those remain the same. Jesus didn't do anything with those. But when Jesus came on this earth, His whole purpose was to fulfill the old law. He told them, and it made the Pharisees quite angry one time. He told them, He said, I am the law of Moses. All this stuff that you've been focusing on, I am the culmination of all of that. I am the Sabbath. I'm all the offerings and the sacrifices you've been making. I am all of those things, and I am now fulfilling those. Let me back up a little bit. If you ever need some reading, go read the book of Leviticus and then figure out how confused you would be at the end of that, of all the different rules. I was shocked one time I was reading, and it's one of the things, if you did, you had to put blood on the left large toe of the priest, and that's not a joke. There really is. It was so confusing, and I made a comment to my wife. I was like, I am sure glad that I don't have to remember all the different things I have to do now because I made this mistake. The other thing with the old law is there was no mercy in the old law. If I had an accident with and killed one of your cattle, then it was fully within your right to go kill one of mine. If my bull got out and killed one of your servants or one of your children, then you had every right to come take one of mine. That was the law. It was there was a lot of those kind of laws. There was zero mercy in that law. And, well, I'd like to go read. I think it's in Galatians. Galatians 3. I hope I got it written down correctly. It's the one where it says we're no longer under a schoolmaster. I think it's Galatians 3 and 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The old Sabbath, the literal Sabbath, was a day for the Israelites to turn away from their literal work and focus on, hopefully focus on the Lord and remember. They were supposed to remember what the Lord did on the day on creation and how the Lord rested. And if you go study a little bit about how the Orthodox folks today still recognize the Sabbath, it seems kind of ridiculous. And I think they did it even back then. There's some of the rules where something about if you didn't leave your fence or something that you could, there are certain things you could still do. And so now what they've done now is they'll put wire up on a big pole and stretch that all over the place. There'll be wires way up high. If you'll notice in some of these communities, there'll be a little wire strung up all over the place. And that's their fence. So that is now, they're within their borders. There's leeway there. That's called the letter of the law, not necessarily the intent. Trying to find a way to get around the whole purpose of it. And I guess that's what I wanted to think about. So we look at how Jesus came and he fulfilled the Sabbath. He said, I am the law of Moses. He said, there's multiple times. I think he said the man was created. Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. He didn't want us to be under bondage for that. He came, there were several times he healed, I think two or three times he healed on the Sabbath. But if you go read Isaiah 58, I should have kept a bookmark. Give me a second. He said, if thou turn thy foot from the Sabbath, and that's not talking about turning your foot away, turning your back to the Sabbath, but instead turning your foot away from doing your own, going your own direction on the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. So, the new Sabbath. What is that? What did Jesus implement as the new Sabbath? We'll get into some scriptures in a little bit later. But I would argue to say, there's been several articles, and you can go look them up on the Church of God website about this. And the new Sabbath is a daily rest for the children of God, those who say, I am one of Christ. I am His, and I'm going to lay down my way. And I'm going to tell you, that word rest that I've written on the board, those of you who may know me pretty well, know that that's not a word that would describe me. I wouldn't probably be considered a restful, peaceful, calm person. So that is definitely something the Lord has had to work with me on. Some of you who know me also know that I, to a fault, have a very strong opinion about probably anything, and my opinion is right. That's my personality, and you have to come up with a pretty strong argument for me to change my opinion. And I said to a fault, so the Lord has to work with me on this. But that is my tendency, is to say, I've got an idea. This is how I feel like this should go. This is how I feel like my salvation should go. This is how I feel like my life should go. I have very strong feelings about, like I said, a lot of things. But what I found was trying to force my salvation and force the rest my own way was never very restful. And it wasn't until, well, I'll just go on to tell you, I hope it doesn't take y'all as long as it did me to figure out how to rest. Because I had something that I was dealing with in my life for many, many years. And I had fought and fought and fought against it. I had come up with ways to try to fix it myself. I'd come up with ways to, well, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to quit doing this, or I'm going to fast from this. I kept coming up with ways to fix it. And they were good things. They were good ideas. I'd venture to say some of these things probably would work for some folks. And God may actually tell you to do some of these things that I was doing. I was trying to cut off some things that needed to be cut off, but every single time I was doing it my way. I was taking my own path. It was instead of turning my path from my way, and instead of turning to the Sabbath, I was bound and determined that it was going to work if I did it this way. And I would always set my own boundaries. The Lord had told me something to give up, and he basically put his finger on something, said this is what's causing your problem. I'll just tell you, it's not something in and of itself. It wasn't a sin. It wasn't something that you couldn't call it sin. It was something the Lord put his finger on. And so what I would do is say, okay, Lord, I'll give that up this way. This is how I'm going to give it up. And so I would, sure enough, I would try to give it up that way for a little while. And same thing, though, I'd go right back. I'd go right back to the same issues I was having before. Then I would say, well, okay, then I won't do it this time. I'll do it this way instead of over and over. And I would be ashamed to tell you how many years I did these things of trying to figure out how can I string up my little wire all around my neighborhood so I can, by the letter of the law, but not the intent, try to follow this thing. And I never was turning my foot away, and I was still, what that verse say, from doing my own pleasure on God's holy day. And for us, God's holy day is every single day that we have is God's holy day. We could have a restful spirit about us. I wasn't very restful in my spirit. I would go to bed. It's a question I would ask each one of y'all, is when you lay down at night, how restful is your mind? How at peace is your mind? Do you go to bed and able to say goodnight to the Lord and know everything's good to go? Or do you have this kind of dread in your mind? Or do you have the other part that I've felt too is, well, I mentioned it before when I first started, that feeling inadequate, that Lord, I don't see how you can use me or how you could ever give me rest. And the Lord had to deal with me on that too, was saying, I am enough, but you got to quit meddling in everything that I'm trying to do. Everything I try to tell you to do, you want to meddle in it. You want to adjust it. You want to turn some knobs here and there. I want to readjust this. I want to, no, Lord, you told me to give up this, but I'm going to actually put this here, and I'm going to give it up at this time of the day, but not this time of the day. I'm going to give it up here, but on these days, I'm going to do it, and I think we can handle that. And what I found is I can't. When God tells me, he puts his finger on something, what I found out is I better pay attention to what he just told me to do, because he says, if I continue forcing my path, and, well, what's the saying? It says, if you continue doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result, that's the definition of insanity, is doing the exact same thing over and over and over and expecting something to change. That is the exact definition of just pure insanity. And looking back on my life, and I don't have all this figured out. I hope y'all understand that. I'm still working on learning how to rest even more. But the peace that comes when victory is finally yours is just, I'm just going to tell you, it's amazing. I remember the day that I suddenly realized that God had given me the victory over this thing that I was talking about. And when I started looking back, I say, Lord, what did I do? How did I finally get victory? And what he helped me understand is you didn't do anything. You just finally let go. I finally just let go of it and say, Lord, you take it. Now, it's still something I have to, like Paul said, I have to keep it under subjection every single day. It doesn't mean that now I've got it licked and I don't ever have to worry about it. It's still there. And I have to, like Paul said, keep it under subjection every single day. I have to do that. And it doesn't mean that I can't rest. I am still able to be at peace and at rest with the Lord because I'm now letting Him be in charge of my salvation instead of me saying, Lord, I've got all these ideas of how I think we can make this work. I'm an engineer, by the way, so I have lots of ideas of things. And so I always look at things of, well, that could be done better, or we could have done this a little better, and I like to think about a lot of things. And so I don't know how your minds work, but that's how mine works. I look at things and think, well, that could be done better a little different way, if we would just do it this way. And that was part of the idea I had for the Lord whenever I felt like He was calling me to the ministry, is I kind of had a little bit better idea. Like, well, Lord, I think there's some other people that might work better. And that wasn't His plan, His idea. And I had my own ideas of several things that involved this. But none of those things worked out the way I thought they should have. But thank the Lord, I was able to let go. I want to turn to this. I'm sharing some pretty personal things with y'all, but I don't want to come across that I ever have been puffed up, and because that's a trap too, by the way, of, well, I finally got this licked. I finally achieved my rest. I finally made it. There's some verses that I love in the New Testament, as Paul wrote both scriptures. One is in Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Let's go also to 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. There's a song, I think, that says, I was saying, yet not I, but Christ. This rest is not something that I can grab a hold of and say, I am now at rest. You can't take a puppy and grab it by the head and say, you're going to like me, because it's not going to work out that way. You have to show it. I have a dog that loves me dearly. If I go outside, it is by my side. And if I sit down on the ground, it's not content to just be in my lap. It has to be really in my lap. It wants to be all over me. It wants to be as close to me as possible. And there's reasons for that. I got the dog as a puppy when I was going through a really, really hard time in my life, probably the hardest time I've ever had to go through. And I got this dog then, and I remember not saying that my wife or family couldn't be there for me, and they were. But there's times that I would go outside and I'd just sit down on the concrete, and that dog would come out and just sit with me. She'd just sit beside me, or lay down on the ground, and we just sit there together. And I could talk. She just sit there. She would just listen. She, whatever dogs do, I don't know if there's anything going on in her head or not, but she was there, and she loved it, and I loved it. And there's, y'all may think it's foolish, but there's a bond there between me and that dog now, because there's something about that, and it meant something to me. And I've had so many thoughts about that that I'm challenged by that dog's loyalty and faithfulness to me, because she would do anything for me, and she would love to be right here with me right now. She would love to have hopped in the car and rode up here with us. She wants to be with me all of the time, 100% of the time. And I have been challenged so many times that, Lord, let that be me with you. And let that, not that it's, I want to be able to go sit with God and sit quietly with Him and talk. Say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is the problems I'm having. And I was talking to God at the same time, but there is the simplicity. I don't want to oversimplify it, but it is simple. The simplicity of just letting it go, letting God have. Like I said, we can't grab it by force, say, I'm going to have rest now. We have to let go of my way. I can't keep going on the Sabbath and going after my own pleasure, my own way, my own happiness, and expect to have the rest that God has for me. I have to go sit down with God and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't have the answers. I don't have peace, Lord. But when He sits there and He talks to us, that we can just say, okay, Lord, you can have it. I don't want it anymore. We heard last night, I believe it was, about someone who experienced it all. Solomon, who experienced everything that life, he could buy, he could pay for anything. He said, I had men singers, I had women singers, I had everything you can imagine. I built fountains and rivers. I did everything just to see what it was like. And it doesn't sound like there was much rest there. It doesn't sound like he had much peace, because his final answer of all of it was just his vanity. It was a waste of time. And that's what I found whenever I am trying to go after peace my own way. It all turns out to be just dust and vanity, because it's never peaceful. I have never found true happiness doing it my way. Continuing on and saying, I want to be able to, what it say, it said, be on the high places. I want God to be able to take me to the high places and say, look, this is what I have for you. You can rest in me. And I haven't lived as long as some either. I know there was some testimony this earlier, but what I have found is that there is so much sweet peace whenever you can finally truly say, I have let go and let God have it. There's a verse in Hebrews I'd like to read in the fourth chapter. Actually, several verses I'd like to go through. For we which have believed, this is the third verse, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. I'm sorry, I'm going to skip down a little bit. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 11, kind of, when you first read that, it kind of seems like a little bit of an oxymoron of laboring to rest. But what I have found, like I said before, is what, like Paul said, I have to daily put the things that I've given up to the Lord, I have to daily say, Lord, it's yours still. It's still yours. Some things, it's easy. Say, oh, Lord, you want that? You can have it. But there's other things that it's, maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think I am, but it's hard to say, I'm not going to do that anymore. It's hard to say, Lord, okay, okay, you can have that. It's not as easy sometimes as it's easier to say than to do. But it's worth laboring for that rest. I can tell you from my experience, labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest you fall after the same unbelief. The unbelief that I had, the Lord had to show me that what I was doing was unbelief in Him. I wasn't trusting that He had the right plan. And He had to chastise me once or twice and say, what you're doing is saying that I'm wrong. You're saying that the God of the universe, the one who created you, who gives you breath every single moment, you're saying that I'm wrong. And He had to chastise me multiple times. And I was very humbled. Say, Lord, I don't want you to have to really come down on me, because I know there's times that He has done that for some, and I told Him, Lord, I don't want to have to go through that. I want to be able to do it Your way. I wish I could say I did it His way the first time, but I didn't. But I can tell you, when I finally have done it His way, yet not I, but through Christ, that the peace that comes from that is worth every amount of labor that I had to go through to get there. It's worth everything that I've had to give up. You could say had to. Every single thing that I've laid aside, it's been worth that. I think it was mentioned earlier, I don't think there'll ever be a person that said, I'm sorry I gave that up for the Lord. That'll never be a statement when we get on the other side, say, Lord, I'm glad I served You, I'm glad I made it to heaven, but I sure wish I wouldn't have gave that up for You. I don't think that's ever going to be something that we say to the Lord. So I'm going to end this with a question again. Are you happy? And are you at rest? And do you have peace? If you don't, then it's there. And there's no shame in coming down here to pray. There is no shame in walking down the aisle and coming kneeling down to pray and say, Lord, You can have it. You can have everything that I hold dear, if it stands in the way of me and You, if it stands in the way of my rest. Y'all pray for me. I want to do the Lord's will, and I want to honor the Sabbath, and the one that Jesus has implemented, the daily Sabbath that we all can experience, the rest, the true peace and rest that we can experience and times that don't seem to make sense. I think of a man who wrote the song, It Is Well With My Soul. That is true rest. And I look at that song and marvel at the ability of that man to write the song when he did, after the loss of his entire family. And he's able to think of, you know what, all these things happen, but it's well with my soul, because I know that my sins have been nailed to the cross. And that's what matters. And I have accepted His free gift of peace and love. Y'all pray for me.